Thank God for the songs of Zion and His goodness and mercy to us in these days. I'm going to pull that up a little bit. Some folks have been having a little trouble hearing, and I'll stick it right there. And if I get too loud, do that, all righty? And probably won't pay you any attention, but at least you can do it, all right? All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. Going to do our very best to preach the message that we feel the Lord's laid on our heart. Really, it's going to be like a little Bible study tonight in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want to mention this thought tonight. I want to make this statement. We don't have to fall. We don't have to fall. And you'll understand as we read, especially verse number 10. Now, notice verse 1. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So again, may the Lord add His blessings. If you'll notice, as Paul is writing to these scattered believers, these Jewish believers, he is giving them who they are and what they can become. And they don't have to fall back. They don't have to fall. And folks, you and I, we don't have to fall. And so the sad truth is that if we walk controlled by the flesh and we don't attempt to walk with God and by the Word of God, then we are setting ourselves up for a fall. We don't realize the importance of walking daily in the obedience of God and His Word. I thought about Adam. Adam fell after sampling the fruit. God told him, don't do it. What did he do? He disobeyed truth. And Adam fell after sampling the fruit. Samson fell after he succumbed to the flesh. God set him aside as a Nazarene and gave him a gift and gave him godly parents and tried to instruct him. But what did they know? He'd done the opposite and he fell. David fell after seeing the female. If he'd have been where he's supposed to be, doing what he's supposed to do, that wouldn't have happened. And Peter fell after being sarcastic to the fellas. I kept that alliterated. Hey, Lord, all shall be offended, yet will not I. So we understand if we ever give in to the flesh, and if we ever disobey God's word any place in it, when God gives us a direct order, then we are setting ourselves up for a fall. But we don't have to fall. We don't have to fall. God's people can live victorious. As a matter of fact, we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I repeat this. I've said it many times. We're not working for victory. We're working from it. The victory was won at Calvary. Jesus paid it all. He won the victory over death, hell, and the grave. And He abides in us. We don't have to fall. And so I want to notice these verses tonight. The first 10 verses that I read, I want to notice them tonight and do a little quick study with you and just go verse by verse and preach on we don't have to fall. Now I want to notice verse number 1 and 2. There is a gaining here, G-A-I-N-I-N-G. There's a gaining here. Look at the verses again with me, please. And Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Now, here is a gaining. Folks, he said we have obtained. Now, that word obtained is not talking about we obtained or we worked for it. That word obtained is speaking of something we have gained. Something we have received. We have obtained it. In other words, not by works, but by the grace of God. But we have obtained. Bible said, like precious faith. Now, I want you to notice, especially in these first three verses, you'll find the word through. T-H-R-O-U-G-H. Through. What we see, what we have, is because of Christ. Through Christ. Through Him. Through Him. Don't ever forget that. If we ever lose sight of why we have and because of whom that we have it, we're going to be in trouble. So when we got saved, we didn't lose anything. We gained something. See, folks, you don't lose when you get saved. That's a lie of the devil. You know why he tells people you're going to lose your friends? You know what? You may lose those friends, but you're not going to lose friends. Hello, you're going to lose your position. You're going to lose. In other words, you know what the devil says before you get saved while the Lord's dealing with you? You're going to be a loser if you get saved. Well, he's the loser. And losers try to convert more losers. But when I got saved, I didn't lose anything. I gained. I obtained something. Amen. I obtained something. And folks, don't ever think, well, I'm saved now. I'm just a loser. No, that's the greatest day of your life. And you are obtaining, you're gaining something in that. He talked about precious faith and grace and peace through. Notice that. He said, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. How did he do it? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Then he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So there it is. What are we? What we're gaining? I like the word multiplied. Amen. Through the knowledge of God. Hey, the more you find out about Him, and the more you find out who you are in Christ, you'll find out I've gained not only additional, but multiplication. I'm multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied. Folks, I know this is an old, I shouldn't even repeat this saying, but we are living our best life. And my best life isn't because I've claimed a new Cadillac or I've claimed. Oh, no, no. My best life is because I've gained, I obtained like precious faith. And grace and peace has been multiplied to me. Amen. Well, thank God. I understand. Now, folks, the truth of the matter is when you get saved, you don't get on easy street. We understand that being a fact, but however, to have the peace of God, the peace of God, peace with God, and knowing where you're headed, and all that we've gained, obtained, how God's multiplied things in our life, and knowing that this place is not our home. Folks, today, people's all the pieces over that thing on TV last night. I sat there and laughed about it until I got a headache and I said, turn that. We living in dark times. You say, preacher, that was, what do you mean you sat there and laughed at them? Well, they were silly. Silly people tickle me. That's right. And I'm thankful that they ain't going to cause me to lose anything. Amen. They ain't going to cause me to lose anything. I've already gained it all in Christ, through Christ. I've gained it all. I'm glad that my Savior, amen, is on the throne. It doesn't matter. And I understand we ought to do right, vote right. I understand all that. But folks, if your hope is in that debate, man, you're a sad person. Praise God, we went to nursing home services, had a good time, and we rejoiced in the Lord. And folks, I ain't thought about it, worried about it 1 ounce today. Why? Because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is seeking sand. I don't need that. But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It didn't say who's in the White House. It didn't say what the economy was doing. He's going to supply my need according to his riches in glory. He owns it all. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns the taters on the hill too. He said, my seed won't be begging bread. Amen. I've said this before, and it's a true statement. You can laugh if you want to. But I have been to the funerals of a lot of great men of God. And not one of them died of starvation. I've been to the funeral of a lot of saints of God. And none of them died of starvation. You understand what I'm telling you? Why? Because God makes good on his promises. All your need. I don't care what the need is. He'll supply it. And so we've been gaining in this life as a Christian. Look at verse number 3. We see a giving. He said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now get a hold of that. Get a hold of that. Now folks, living for the Lord in the flesh is hard. Get a hold of that now. Don't watch what I'm saying. Trying to live for God and do and serve God in the flesh through the energy of the flesh is hard. Right. See, a lot of people they read that verse, the way of the transgressor is hard, and they say, my way is hard. My way is hard. Well, folks, if we try to do everything through the energy of the flesh, it is. But verse number 3, he plainly says, according as his divine power, listen now, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Everything that pertains to life, living for God, being righteous, the Lord has already given it to us. He's given. Hey, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. You know, years ago, I remember my excuse to my mama when I would fail a test would pass. It would be passing the buck. Now, what do you mean? I'd say, I'd come in and I'd act like I was upset. Really, I was scared, but I'd act like I was upset. What? But teacher failed me. You teachers get blamed for a lot, don't you? My mama didn't buy it, though. That teacher failed me. She said she did. I said, yeah. She said, did she not go over this material before you took the test for a while? I said, yeah. She didn't give you a study sheet? Yeah. Anything you was confused about, did you ask her? No. Son, that teacher didn't fail you. You failed you. She provided everything for you to make 100. But you tried to do the test on your own, get through, mutter through, and you failed. Preacher, I don't know why my life's a failure. Because you're not using what God has given you. You're trying to figure it out. You're trying to do it on your own. You're living in misery because it's all about in your head. Oh, I got to figure this. No, God's already given. Just use what he gave you. Just use what he's already given you to use. You'll be all right. You'll be okay. Kids, don't do this. I've reaped what I've sowed, so you ain't going to get by with it. But there was a fellow that sat beside me in government economics. He was brilliant. He was brilliant. And I copied. Well, I was at football practice, and Coach Ramsey said, "Where is Tommy Turner at?" I said, "Right here, Coach." He said, "You realize you and Clay Pace made the same grade on that test?" I said, "He cheated off my paper, apparently." Craig, sorry, not Clay. Clay wouldn't have passed it either. He said, "Yeah, right. Folks, you know, doing it our way never pays." You need to write that down. That's an original. Doing it our way never pays when God has already provided. The word of God is true. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. To live godly through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So he gave us something. But then we see in verse 4, we see greatness. He said, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding," here it is, "great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Now get this, there's three things in verse 4 you want to get. Simple but profound. Number one, precious promises. Now, wonder why. Precious means, it's priceless. Why did the Lord choose for Peter to pin that down? Precious, great and precious promises. Because all of God's promises are great and precious. They're not just idle words. They're not just empty promises. They're not just something to pass you by and say, "All right, I'll do that." Go. Every promise he made has our benefit in mind. Get a hold of that precious. But then partakers, get a hold of this. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the," there's a definite article, "the divine nature." Divine nature. Partakers of what? God's nature. Oh, yeah. Let that sink in. You understand the Holy Ghost lives in you and we are partakers of his divine nature? The very nature of God is within us. Boy, I like that. Partakers. I'm glad I'm a partaker in his divine nature. Folks, God gave me a better nature. Now I still have this old man. But I'm glad there's a new man. Amen. Folks, the Lord's not in the overhauling business. He just put a new man on the inside. Right. He didn't overhaul this old man. This old man is corrupt, and that's all it'll ever be. That's all it'll ever be. It'll be corrupt. You say, "Preacher, I'm not corrupt." Sure you are. Go without a bath and deodorant for a week. Right. I know that's funny, but that's a fact. You'll find out how corrupt you are. Go to work. Sweat at work. Go to work. There'll be people, they'll be putting distance between you and them. We are corrupt, folks. This old flesh is dying every day. Do you understand? Every day we live, it's closer to the grave. So I'm glad the Lord's not overhauling this corruptible man, but he put a new man on the inside. And I'm partakers of his divine nature. Boy, I'm thankful for the leading and the guiding of the Spirit. I'm thankful that God puts right desires in me. My flesh don't want right desires. My flesh still wants to sin. It wants to live like it did before I got saved. But God put something in me. He made us partakers of His divine nature. Boy, aren't you thankful? Folks, do you understand? This belt ain't working. Do you understand that when we see all these throughs, through the righteousness of God, you get that? Through the righteousness of God, somebody's at somebody's house. Through the knowledge of God, all these throughs, do you understand that we have nothing to glory in the flesh? And we also have no excuse in it either. Zero excuse in the fly, because the Lord has made it possible. What we have through Him and what we're partakers because of what He did for us, the divine nature. So we see precious promises, partaker. Then we see pardon. Having escaped, verse 4, the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let me put all that together. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, because of these promises, because of what we have in Christ. And because we are partakers of His divine nature, we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've been pardoned. We've been taken out of that. No longer, listen to me, study Romans 6, 7, 8. Study it. Hey, no longer does sin have dominion over me. No longer am I a slave to sin. Folks, I have a choice. I have the league of the Spirit. I can say by the grace of God and through the power of God, I do not have to yield to my flesh or the temptation of Satan. I can say no. God has equipped me and given me what I need not to be ruled by myself. We don't have to fall. Notice verse number 5. I'm going quick. Now, we jump a section. So, okay, we have everything divine and spiritual through Christ. We have it. Y'all believe it? Now it's time to build on it. Now it's time to build on it. Notice verse 5 through 8, we have growing. We had gaining, giving, greatness. Now we have growing. Look at verse 5 through 8. And beside this, God's done everything. But now He wants us to do some building. He wants us to put some effort, not to be saved, but because we are. And He said, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. He said, giving all diligence. You know what that's saying? Without delay, start growing. Without delay, start adding to your faith. That's our problem. We got a lot of people saved, but never grown. They've never added to their faith like they should add to their faith. That's why I say some new converts that pass in spiritual growth, some folks have been saved a long time because they've never added to their faith. That's why in a lot of churches, I'm not sitting now, I believe some of them are lost. I believe some of them are wolves sitting in the pews, but not everybody. Some of them just never added to their faith. And therefore, they're the ones that's always trying to stir it up. Always trying to cause strife. Always trying to cause problems. Always trying to go against the pastor. Always trying to usurp leader. Always doing these things and thinking in their mind because some other growthless Christian told them that's how you do it. Come on. And there's your problem. There's your problem. There's your problem. We're not growing. We don't add to our faith. Add means you make it more, right? Right. So the first thing he said, add virtue. Well, and y'all know these. I know that. Moral goodness. In other words, hey, first thing God wants you to do, act like you belong to Him. Amen. Good. Amen. Act like you belong to Him. Right. Behave yourself in the Lord. Act
act right. React right. Pray over what you know is a weakness to you. Ask God to give you faith and grace and strength every day to deny those things that, hey, he could, the devil or the flesh could use to hurt your testimony and the cause of Christ. Virtue. Then knowledge. Where knowledge means clear and certain perception of that which exists or of truth and fact. You add knowledge. The more we grow, the more we know this book. Right. Nobody has arrived in that either, but we're students of it. We meditate on it. So we have virtue, we have knowledge, we have temperance. Now I want you to know, temperance is not only in this text, but it's also one of the fruit of the Spirit. So the Lord means much about temperance, and we all, especially us men, it means moderation, self-control of thoughts and actions. Temperance. Let me read that again. Moderation, self-control of thoughts and actions. You've got to add that to your faith. But then, I'm hurrying, patience. I believe patience and long-suffering go together, don't you? It means endurance, the ability to tolerate challenges or delays without falling apart. I'm going to give you some advice, but you do what you want to. Be careful praying for that. Be careful praying for patience, because there ain't but one way to get it. And that's through a trial or a test. I think we need to pray for grace and understanding. I'm going to pray for, go ahead. I'm not telling you it's wrong, but you better mean it when you pray for it. The patience of Job, the endurance of Job, you better be careful. Patience, endurance, then godliness. Living in a way that reflects the character of God in thoughts, feelings, actions, and desire. God-like living. God-like living. Folks, I'll never understand how people that can say they're Christians, born again, and have no problems lying, have no problems cheating you, have no problems being unfaithful, have no problems robbing God, have no problems in that stuff. They don't have any problems. They don't have any problems living immoral. Folks, you understand, there is never a scapegoat from not doing what God said. There's never a time where you say, well, Lord, I know I disobeyed your word, but you see my condition. You see my situation. You say, And you may not be getting out of that situation, that sickness or that pain. You may not be getting out of it, getting through it, because you simply won't do it God's way. You're reaching for the world to get peace or get help. That's ruining your testimony. That's hurting your Christian life. You can't witness to nobody there. You're a joke spiritually to them. They don't care what your reason is. They know you ain't doing right. The Lord said, add to your faith. Godliness. Folks, I believe God's big enough for us to do it right and Him take care of us. I believe that God's big enough for us. Folks, understand that the temptation when you feel like your back's getting in the corner to take the easy road. And maybe we have a time or two and had to repent of it. But folks, the high road always is the best road. Take the high road, not the low road. The low road, there's a bunch of obstacles in that road. There's a bunch of things in that road to make you fall. Right. Yeah. Let me hurry. I got to go.
Some of y'all hadn't had supper yet.
Then brotherly kindness, he said, add. Brotherly kindness, love and caring that Christians show to each other, being kind one to another. That's self-explanatory. If anybody will be loving each other, it's a scrap right here. Then there's charity. It's charity. He goes on to say this, and brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. Now we understand charity is love. And if you'll study, and I don't have time tonight, and you know your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the charity chapter. There's things charity will do. There's things charity will not do. Get in on it. But let me get to verse 9 and 10. I ran through these. There's a glitch. A glitch. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Folks, if you're not growing at a pace, you'll just plain forget what Christ done for you. Now, folks, if that wasn't in the Bible, I couldn't preach it. But there's Christians living a life just like the world, and they done got so blind and walked in such a far off life, their salvation really don't mean anything to them. It don't mean anything to them. Their testimony don't mean anything to them. If it did, they wouldn't live like they're living. Hey, let me say that. Let me back up. Christians shouldn't be liars. Christians shouldn't be crooks. Christians shouldn't be adulterers and fornicators. Are we all right? Christians should be honest. Christians should go to church. Christians should tithe and give offerings. Christians should be a witness. Christians ought to be thankful and holy. There's a glitch there. There's a glitch there. Make sure you don't get caught up in that. Because if you lack adding to your faith, you're going to be so far off, you ain't going to be able to see right. You're going to be walking so far off, you ain't going to be able to see right. You remember when Peter said, I go fishing? And the other disciple says, we'll go with you. And I'm paraphrasing. And I did the math on this one time, and I can't remember. But they had fished all night, caught nothing. About daylight, the Lord is on the shore. Was it about 100 yards or something? I did the math, but anyway. They couldn't even tell it was him. Till he spoke. Folks, you understand? That's a picture of a Christian being away from God. And here they, all this time they've been right with him. It wasn't like they just met him one time. They lived with him for 3.5 years. They walked with him for 3.5 years. Ate with him for 3.5 years. And then, who is that? That's the picture of the text, I think, of that verse. You understand? Folks, there's been time in my life, and I'm going to confess a fault to you. A sin, I got that right. But there's a time in my life I was walking afar off. I was backslid. And God would move in a service, church I was raised in. You know what? I didn't get nothing, feel nothing, see nothing. You know what my flesh would have me do and the devil? That's fake. Now, God's given us discernment. I know real and not. I know show and spirit. I've been around some shows, buddy. I don't think when God's in it, he don't damage property. Hello. I've been in some where God's property damaged. Had to call carpenters in to work on stuff after they got in the spirit. You ain't getting the spirit, you got in the flesh. Amen. I've seen people get right. I like shouting. I like it. God, hey, if you got a problem with shouting, you're going to have a nervous breakdown when you go to heaven. When the Lord comes, come with a shout. But I promise you, there won't be no confusion in it. But now, getting back to where I was, I know what it's like to walk afar off and not be able to see God. See Him when He's moving. See Him when He's working. Look at verse 10. Let's go home. We see guarantee. Wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence. Now that word diligence again. To make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. I went all the way around these verses about what we have, what we've gained, what God's done, hey, what He's given us. Now we got to grow. And He said, if you'll grow and add these things at a right pace, you'll never fall. You will never fall. I ain't talking about falling from grace and losing yourself. I'm talking about falling into sin and hurting your testimony. Amen. You'll never fall. That's a guarantee. We don't have to fall. The Lord has provided everything to guarantee that. So if I fall, but for the grace of God, I know. But I don't have to. But if I fall, it won't be God's fault. He's given me all things that pertaineth to life and godliness. He's given you, Christian, all things that pertains to life and godliness. You might be here tonight. I don't think the Lord gave me this message for now. Courtney, come on. But you might be here and you're on the way to falling. You've not failed yet, but you're on the way. And you know what? You may be here today and you have failed. You're here tonight, but you failed. Can I say this to you? A just man falls seven times but riseth again. You ain't got to stay down. But be careful. Don't let your pride keep you in the seat. Don't let embarrassment and pride keep. Hey, if you're about to fall or if you fail, you can come and, hey, the Lord still will forgive your sin. Amen. I was listening to a message yesterday while I was walking. A preacher preached. Man alive, it was a blessing. And he used the text over in Genesis 49 when Jacob called all his boys in and told them basically their future. You remember that? And he went through the first couple, three boys, and man, he laid it to them. But he got to Judah. And boy, talking about God's blessings on Judah. But you remember, he sinned too. He failed too. What's the difference? He repented. Publicly, he repented and said, my daughter-in-law is better than me. And I'm not going into the details. Y'all read. He repented. See, the Lord wants you to repent. He's ready to forgive you. He's ready to put you on the right path. He's ready. But you've got to repent. What about it? Let's all stand. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.